It's Thanksgiving, and we all know what that means. Football. And nothing goes better with football than turkey and betting. BetOnline has you covered all holiday season. More props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the sports action this Thanksgiving. Head to our new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus with promo code BLEAVE to receive your bonus. And it's not just football. BetOnline has pro and college hoops, NHL, boxing, UFC, even your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite sports.
At the 50, at the 10, at the 5, still going.
Look at him go.
The goal line, bullseye. It's a Buffalo touchdown.
We're back. Hello, my friends. This is Kyrie Demos welcoming you all back to another edition of Bullseye, the UB Bulls football podcast. I know it's been a little bit of time. We had a little bit of a hiatus. We were actually going through some things behind the scenes with Believe, website wise and things like that. But those things are all squared away now. I hope everybody having a wonderful Thanksgiving week, with friends and family. And I just hope everybody's been able to enjoy this time and, seeing how things have progressed here in football season. And, so I know it's been a little bit of time since we've last chatted, but I think it's been crazy to see what's gone on with the Bulls. Last time we spoke, the Bulls were 4-5, going into their matchup against, I believe it was against Miami of Ohio. That was, November 9th. Yeah. That Tuesday night Maction game that the Bulls played in. Things have started to fall off the rails then for the Bulls. That night really probably was the, I can't even say the exclamation point. I think, things really started out the week before against Bowling Green, coming in as two touchdown favorites against the Falcons, and to be able to have that game just go the way it did, 56-44. I mean, shootout, but one that the Bulls did not prevail in. But have that result followed up by the Miami of Ohio game where Gabbert really was able to light the Bulls up in the passing game, and then fast forward to last week's game against Northern Illinois. Another tight one for the Bulls that they really fell short in. It's so heartbreaking to think of a game so back and forth, NIU, who's a very strong team this year at 8-3. And, they did just lose to Western Michigan this past week, but they are still atop of the MAC West. So even having said all that, they are looking like they're in the driver's seat to make it to the MAC title game from the West. Again, just, going back to that game last week against the Huskies, back and forth affair, the UB defense was able to make a couple big plays like Eric Black's strip sack, fumble on Rocky Lombardi, and then just seeing how Matt Myers was able to, keep things moving along alongside Dylan McDuffie in the running game. I mean, those guys, alongside Ron Cook Jr. as well, were able to help the Bulls chip away with 222 yards of on the ground. So, that you could see, the effectiveness, but, again, just falling short in that game. Quite literally, for the Bulls to have the game end on, advancing to overtime, driving down to the two-yard line for Matt Myers to fumble the exchange with Dylan McDuffie for the Huskies to recover. And then the ensuing play, Ratkovich was able to cap the game off with his second touchdown of the night, which was ironic because, he actually just had a 96 yard touchdown, this past, Tuesday, in and I use action. So yeah, it's crazy to think that, you know, things really started to, the wheels really were starting to fall off a little bit. In this last stretch of the season for the Bulls, I mean, it's really disappointing. To be completely honest, you know, UB got off to a 4-4 start. Things were looking great for the Bulls, you know, especially coming off the Akron performance. I mean, to think, you know, Kyler Lang sets a single game program sack record. The team does as well with 11 sacks as a unit on the defensive side. But to follow that up with four consecutive losses, and I mean, really losses in all different fashions, whether it's the, you know, coming in as expected favorites against Bowling Green, whether it's, you know, really getting blown out against Miami of Ohio, to the NIU game, losing in overtime before collapsing in the season finale against Ball State Tuesday evening, 20-3 loss to the Cardinals there. So, you know, it really was a mixed bag for the Bulls all the way around when it comes to that. You know, we'll dive a little bit more into the Ball State game shortly, but I definitely want to be able to play you guys some audio that I got from the Bulls senior day game against NIU. You know, things are a little bit different with this last episode here. I think what we're going to do is give, you know, obviously some analysis on, you know, what the last few weeks have looked like for the Bulls, but at the same time too, also do a little recap, you know, with the season coming to an end now. Obviously, it's disappointing for UB to not make it into a bowl game. This is the first time they will not play in a bowl game since 2017, and also is the first time that the Bulls finished below 500 since 2016. So, I mean, to think that UB has gotten to this point in its FBS era is astounding, but at the same time, too, you know, I think for Coach Mo Linguist and his staff, there were a lot of different factors that played into this season, and we'll get into that as things progress later on in the episode. But again, I want to be able to play you guys some audio from the NIU game post-game press conference. And I was able to first off speak with Coach Mo Linguist, who's always been such a, you know, an energetic guy and provides great feedback and sound, even after losses. You know, I think that's one thing that stood out about him, even back to my playing days with UB. You know, he always was such a guy that brought such infectious energy, and you can feel that through his press conferences. Then we'll be talking with defensive end Eric Black, as we mentioned, who had a really big strip sack fumble in the NIU game. And then lastly, we'll close it out with Matt Myers, again, who was coming off of probably the most excruciating moment in his tenure at UB, you know, with him fumbling at the 1 yard line. But at the same time, too, you know, he's someone I think that was put in a tough position, having to step in for Kyle Van Treese, and, you know, to go from coming in as a starter in 2019, getting replaced by Van Treese, and watching him do his thing for a year and a half or so. And then, you know, for the better part of this season, also watching what Van Treese was doing. But then, you know, he really got to step in the last quarter of the season. And show what he can bring to the table as a dual threat quarterback, you know, heading into next season. So, again, just wanted to be able to share this audio with you guys. So take a listen, enjoy, and we'll be back with you soon.
So losing overtime, and it's a tough loss for us. And credit to Northern Illinois for a hard-fought game. And I thought they played strong and back and forth game. So credit to those guys for getting it done. And just proud of the guys in the locker room. You know, I'm so proud of the guys. I'm proud of the seniors that have done so much for Buffalo football, for UB football, and for the journey that they've been on. Some of these guys, their fifth, sixth year. I mean, some of these guys are 24 years old, and you've seen them so much. You almost take them for granted a little bit, but. Just really proud of the determination and grit and toughness of the men in the locker room. You know, probably could have been easy for a lot of guys to say, you know, well, you know, it's, you know, we're not going to the MAC championship, and you could find a million excuses. But all the guys did was go out there, fight their butt off. The sideline was electric all night. The energy was was outstanding, and the belief in that locker room was really strong. And we just didn't make a play. We didn't make a play at the end. And there's no one single play that ever kind of defines a game, because there's just so many plays that are involved, and there's so many moving parts that, you know, you can point to a number of things. But at the end of the day, I'm really proud of the guys. And we are going to pick ourselves up off the mat. I promise you this, we're not going to have our head down for anything. And we are going to get ourselves prepared to go beat Ball State on the road and continue to lay the foundation for this program moving forward, and to build off of the good and the tough situations that we've been in, because I really believe that, you know, you either win or you learn. And there's some things that we can definitely learn from some of the adversity that we've been through.
Coach, no question about it. Tonight was a heartbreaker. But to think about how you guys played tonight, going toe-to-toe with one of the top teams in the MAC conference, but also historically, too, one of the top MAC conference teams throughout history, you know, for you guys to be able to show that, you know, how much of a building block type of game do you think this is moving forward?
Yeah, I think anytime you step on the football field, number one, you prepare and you play to go win, you know, to go prepare yourself and put yourself in a position to win the game. And then you look at the game and you analyze, you know, you're always looking at, you know, what do I need to change? What do I need to adjust? What do I need to emphasize? You know, who do I move to this spot? You know, you're always looking at the moving pieces. And then, you know, big picture wise, with the big picture vision of the program, anytime you step off the field, you go right back to me to the culture and the connection of that locker room and to the vision that you're building for the future. We're definitely going to learn a lot from this game. I think we'll reference this game a lot to be able to look back and say, you know, what did you learn? I think when you go through a tough game or you have a tough situation, the question you got to ask yourself is, what did you learn? Because if you step away, you didn't learn anything. You know, you'll repeat the same situation and you won't maybe be quite as successful. So we'll use this as a reference. We won't live in the rearview mirror. We'll live in the front mirror, the front windshield of where we're going to go. And I promise you this, we're not going to have our head hanging down for anything. There's a ton to learn off the game, from a practical approach, from an X's and O's approach, and then from a cultural approach. And we'll use all these things in our preparation for Ball State and in the big picture vision of the program moving forward.
Eric, for you, you know, growing up in Rochester, you know, for you to be able to play your college career so close to home, obviously this being your last time playing at UB Stadium, just what has it meant for you to be able to play so close to home and enjoy so much success that you have?
It's meant a lot. Growing up, my parents, my whole family, they always enjoyed watching me play, obviously. So being able to have them be able to support me as much as they do, coming to as many games as they do, has meant a lot. And then just being able to see them so often. So many of my teammates, they have to go through long periods of time without seeing their family. So with me being able to see my family sometimes every weekend, every other weekend, it means a lot to me. And it's just Western New York. I love growing up there. I loved it. Buffalo is really similar. So it's meant a ton for me.
Eric, can you talk about that sack in that third quarter that really just kind of, you know, shifted the game for you guys? After that sack, that strip sack you had on the recovery, you get two straight touchdowns, end up going into overtime. Just talk about how that sack was kind of a big turning point for you guys.
Yeah, I knew it was gonna be a big play. Obviously, we thought they were gonna pass it. I was just trying to load up, get a really good get off, and I was able to kind of get the edge on the tackle, and I just tried to outreach my arm as far as I could, and I seen the ball. It was kind of a blur, to be honest with you, but I knew it was gonna be a big play if I could make that. We were right by their end zone, so really just trying to get a good get off. Zoning in on the ball and making the play. So, it was cool.
Your team missed Chad Bowl. How disappointing is it not to make that goal?
It's really disappointing, obviously, because we've kind of gotten almost used to it, going to a bowl these past several years. But I'm really proud of the way we played, honestly. The last game on that field for all the seniors, you know, guys like Jake Fusak, Jack Klink, Jake Monish, Gaddafi Wright, dudes that were here before me. I thought we left it all out there our last game. So it's definitely disappointing. But now we're just really focused on finishing the season. Obviously, we have one more game, a little bit of short rest. So ending the season on a win there's nothing can ask for any more than that. So,
Eric, I know this game is kind of designed to break your heart every so often, but it seemed like the way you guys fought back and all that to see what happened here was, may have been overdoing it. It's got to be tough to overcome something like this.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it was definitely tough with the last play. It stung. It definitely stung. We all acknowledge that. But like Coach said in the locker room, we have to be proud of the way we played. Like, that's the sideline during the game. All the guys who weren't necessarily playing or even dressed, that's the loudest I've seen them supporting them. It was awesome to watch, you know. And with that being a lot, so many guys last game, it definitely stings that much more. But the fact that we played so hard and everybody was so involved and the morale was up, it was pretty cool to see.
Matt, in overtime, what was with the fumble? How did that happen? What happened with that play?
I just made a mistake. Didn't really look at him all the way, but I take ownership of it. I got to be better.
Matt, what does this senior class mean to you? You know, obviously there's been a lot of success with this program over the last few years. And, you know, yes, the coaching staff has changed, but, you know, a lot of these guys that were helping you guys make bowl games over the last few years are still here. Just thoughts on what they've meant to you.
Yeah, I mean, I spent 4 years with them. You know, they did a great job of coming in and leaving better than they found it. They put a lot of blood, sweat, and tears in this program. And I really wish we could have came out and won for them tonight. They deserve it. But they're a great class and a great group of guys, great teammates, you know, and I just wish we could have came out with OW for them tonight.
Now, how much notice did you get before you knew you were going to start in this?
It's kind of just, you know, stay prepared all week. Maybe a couple of days. Rather than, you know, Kyle going down last week, just always knowing that I have to be prepared. It's probably just when we're entering the week.
Matt, football's obviously an emotional game, especially this one in particular, the ups and downs in this game. I guess, how emotionally draining is this loss?
As emotionally draining as it can get.
We talked a little bit about, you know, Kyle getting hurt last week and you obviously stepping in the starting lineup tonight. You know, how helpful was he for you throughout the process leading up to the game?
Yeah, I mean, Kyle's been a great teammate. Getting me ready for the game, even today. Just going through my plays when I come off the sideline and just seeing, you know, having his eyes on the sideline also helps me for when I go out there. He's been a great teammate with helping me.
And there you have it, folks. Some members of the UB football program discussing a little bit about the Bulls' performance in the NIU game. But, that was before UB played against Ball State this past Tuesday. And, yeah, you know, it was, again, another disappointing result for UB. 20-3 victory for the Cardinals. And the Cardinals are now bowl eligible. This was actually a rematch of the 2020 MAC championship game. So a little tidbit there. But, when you look at the numbers, you know, first downs, UB out gained Ball State there. Total yards wise, 336 to 230. More passing yards for UB, more rushing yards for UB as well. At the end of the day, when you have four turnovers, four interceptions by Matt Myers, and also, too, a blocked punt by the Cardinals as well, mixed in there. So that's essentially a fifth turnover. So, you know, UB just really was not able to have things going. And it's honestly ironic. They tied a season low of 3 points in this result. So you bookend the season with your season high in points with 69 against FCS Wagner. And then you match your season low of 3 points against Ball State. So really just two polar opposite ends for UB to close this season. At the end of the day, I think this is just a little bit of the tailspin that happened for the Bulls at the end of the season. You know, obviously to be at 4-4, to go 0-4 in the last game, or in the last four games of the season, You know, it's definitely tough. Definitely tough to see you be close things like that. Things looked so promising, especially for Malinguist in his inaugural season as head coach. Obviously, his first back here with the program since 2013. So, but again, guys, I do think, you know, there are some things that need to be considered overall. Just taking a look at, you know, here are some of my biggest takeaways from the 2021 season overall. First and foremost, we've got to salute to the seniors. 18 different seniors this year with UB. Those guys, I mean, to think what those guys have seen in UB's football program, this has to be arguably the winningest class. Whether you're talking about the 6th year or 5th year guys, to see 3 consecutive bowl appearances, 2 bowl wins, the program's first AP ranking last season, an undefeated regular season in 2020, a MAC East Division championship, actually 2 MAC East Division championships, 2018 and 2020. So, you know, a lot of success for the Bulls, with this group. So, you know, obviously 2021's been disappointing, but, these guys have seen, you know, the greatest moments, many of the greatest moments in UB's FBS era. There was also 6th-year guys for the Bulls this season with Jake Fusak, Jack Klenk, those 2 guys on the line, Dom Johnson moving over from quarterback to wide receiver, who, you know, he did a great job as a possession guy this year, Kadafi Wright, former All-MAC linebacker, and also another former All-MAC player in Taylor Riggins. And, Riggins, I saved him for last because he's a name that I wanted to mention in my second takeaway for UB this season. And I think not having Taylor Riggins for the bulk of the season, I'm not going to say that explains, you know, all of the deficiencies that UB and its defense showed this season, because obviously there were some issues on offense as well. But to not have, a guy who was an All-MAC performer, first-team All-MAC performer in 2019, you know, misses most of 2020 as well. So you think someone so dynamic, think about this. In 5 games played this fall, Taylor Riggins had 4 sacks. So in those 5 games, 2 of those games, he had 2 sacks apiece. So, I mean, he was really able to put up numbers in a short span of time, last playing on October 9th against Kent State. So, you know, it's just been was really tough to see how, you know, really one of the top pass rushers in UB's history close things out. We all know about some of the names that have come before him, whether that's Khalil Mack, Malcolm Kuntz, or Damone Harris, Colby Way. I mean, there's so many guys who, you know, were standout players off the edge and in the trenches for UB. So to lose a guy like that, you know, obviously a 6th-year senior as well, so he's a leader, a captain. So it was not ideal to have, you know. And this is crazy. I actually, during the NIU game, I was talking with some media members in the press box, and, you know, one of the members was saying, like, you know, honestly, he had talked with some people throughout the conference, like, they really considered, coming into the season, they really considered Riggins not only to be the best defensive lineman or the best edge rusher in the MAC, you know, arguably, they considered him arguably the best defensive player in the MAC conference. So to lose him, especially so early on in the year, and, you know, he was really only playing in spot duty after the first couple of games. So, you know, it was tough to see things end like that for a very, very talented and highly regarded player in Riggins. My next takeaway is, you know, the sprint of the Bulls. You know, Coach Mo Linguist, what a year it was for him to think that, you know, he starts out the year coaching with the Dallas Cowboys, then is named Michigan's co-defensive coordinator January 19th. And I want to go back to that. I don't think that's something that's talked about enough. This is a guy who, you know, obviously he's had a lot of different stops in the coaching world, but especially at the college football level. To think And you got to also consider the schedule of college football. I think he comes in, his name code DC, January 19th. I'm sure he's able to get who are now the number five ranked Michigan Wolverines, get going with them in their winter conditioning. And then you fast forward to spring ball. You get through an entire spring ball session. You get through your entire spring semester, truly. And then obviously Lance Leipold and his staff, headed to the Big 12 with Kansas. And that left an opening at, a spot that Molinguist knows very well. So to think he went through an entire spring semester with another program, then, really was thrusted into this role. I mean, we've talked about it before, but to think, and he alluded to it earlier in the press conference that we had of him, to think that he went from, going from Michigan, thinking, okay, hey, I'm going to be wrapping things up for the semester, take some time with recruiting, things like that, and then I'm going to be getting going with the summertime, getting the kids back on campus, to, no, I'm actually going to be taking over a program now, and in a month's span, I've got to hire my own staff. I got to hire my own football administration. I've got to hire, like you said, GAs and other positions, things like that. So, to see him come in such a short period of time and try to really just establish something, hats off to him, kudos to him, because that's really no easy task. I don't care who you are. What he had laid out in front of him was going to be a challenge for anybody, but he did it with a lot of integrity. And I mean, there were so many moments where, things are reversed. UB is going to a bowl game, whether that's, beating a ranked Coastal team at home. Coastal Carolina, they had on the ropes, especially in the second half of that game. You think about the NIU game, whether Myers doesn't fumble or the team gets a stop after the fumble and overtime. I mean, those two games alone give the Bulls six wins, and make them eligible for bowl eligibility. But even considering the BG game and, the Kent State game, starting out slow and then firing back late in that one as well. So there's just so many different moments that UB was so much closer than scores would indicate, or, even just the way the games flowed. If there were a few plays handled better here and there, things really the script could have been flipped. Next up, UB is obviously known as a running backs school. So to see another running back step up, this takeaway is run MCD, and that's Dylan McDuffie. This guy, he was to be able to finish the season, 1,049 yards rushing, 12 total touchdowns. He had those 1,049 yards made him, and I tweeted this out, made him the sixth player in UB's FCS era to crack 1,000 yards, but 10th overall player in program history to rush for 1,000 yards in a season. So hats off to him and hats off to the offensive line. I think that's, I don't really want to gloss over a stat like that just because, let's face it, McDuffie wasn't even supposed to be the Bulls' starting tailback this season. Obviously, Kevin Marks Jr. came in with a lot of attention just because of all he's done, and hats off to him again for what he was able to put together in his, or what he's been able to put together in his time as a Bull. I really think that McDuffie was really one of the unsung heroes and really one of the brightest spots on UB's team in such a surprise fashion because, realistically coming in, McDuffie was looked at as the third back behind not only Kevin Marks Jr., but Ron Cook as well. So Ron Cook Jr. So to think that he was able to step in and step up, have so many big moments. I mean, to think this kid had four 100-yard games. He scored in all but three games for the Bulls this season. He was a guy who, especially late, second half, I talked about those 100-yard rushing games. He had, all those games came within the last six games of the season. for UB. And, you know, one of the games that he didn't crack the 100-yard mark, he finished with 91 yards and a rushing touchdown, as well as 33 receiving yards. So he still had over 100 yards from scrimmage. So, you know, again, kudos to Dylan McDuffie and the offensive line for really still establishing something and showing that UB has a lot to work with those guys, with some of those guys coming back for next season. My next takeaway is the transfer route. You know, I think it's something that needs to be discussed just because UB obviously has never been a huge hotbed for bringing in, you know, big name transfers from all these Power Five schools. But I think this season showed that if UB is able to bring in some transfers, you know, they can show well. You know, just, you know, obviously right off the bat, Keon Williams finished with 64 catches on the season, 835 yards receiving, team's leading receiver, and, you know, one of the better receiving seasons for a MAC conference player. So I think UB really is at a point where now you can start to bring some of these guys in and realize, like, hey, you know, yes, recruiting is huge, but the transfer part of it is major now. You know, you look at a guy like Jamarcus Ingram as well, you know, started 9 games at corner this season. George Wallow, like, I mean, there's so many guys that were able to come in and, you know, help the Bulls this season, you know, after, you know, being in some different spots. So I think it's important to oh, my mistake. I'm sorry about the George Wallow. I'm getting him confused with Josh Rogers, you know, who came over from A&M. But yeah, so, you know, for UB to take on some of these transfers, I think is important. You know, it's a different day and age in college football. So those guys, those type of guys will have to be needed moving forward, you know, to be able to keep this program alive and thriving. Next, for me, with takeaways for the 2021 UB football season, turnovers, 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 turnovers. I know it's a moot point, and, you know, obviously it's something that any coach at any level will tell you, you got to hold on to the football and you got to force turnovers. But UB had 19 giveaways this season and only 12 takeaways. Just 3 interceptions as a team this year. You know, I don't know what the percentage numbers are on teams that are bowl eligible that had recorded that many interceptions or that low amount of interceptions, let alone only forcing 12 takeaways. I mean that is a takeaway a game. It is, but, you know, when you think about, you know, UB was able to force so many turnovers in its season opening game against Wagner, you know, so, like, that's the 12 turnovers, that really is a, or I'm sorry, just one, no turnovers against Wagner, but just being able to force multiple turnovers in other games. I believe the Akron game, UB forced 4 turnovers in that game. So you take away those 4 turnovers, that's only 8 turnovers in 11 other games this season. So yeah, I mean, it's tough to see how, you know, UB giving the ball away impacted things, but not being able to take the ball away also, hampered them in their results this year. And then lastly, I think, you know, we haven't mentioned it. It's obviously the most important position on the field, the quarterback position, under center. You know, Matt Myers and Kyle Van Treese, you know, obviously 2 differing styles. Van Treese more of your traditional pocket passer, where Myers brings more of a dual threat element as a big physical power runner. But, you know, I just think there's going to be more efficiency is going to be needed from the quarterback position to see this program get back to where it has been the last couple of years. You know, just between the two, only a combined 12 touchdown passes and 11 interceptions. You know, that's just not going to get it done. You know, I don't want to sugarcoat it or anything like that, but those numbers just won't get it done. for any team. So I just think that with those guys, you know, yes, they are, you know, two very talented guys. And I think guys that, you know, they should clearly have poise and show leadership and things of that nature. They have all the intangible stuff. I just think that when it comes to, you know, helping get this program back to where it has been, they're just going to have to, you know, really just come through and show that they can get the job done. You know, and that's whatever style, whether that's Vantrease getting back to some of the things he was able to lean on in 2020. And I know he was handing the ball off a lot that year, but even still, he played a lot cleaner football. You know, 6 interceptions for him this season, you know, so that was not his best. But also, too, even if it's Myers, who is going to be back under center for the Bulls next fall, you know, he's going to have to be able to clean some things up. You know, as I mentioned before, four interceptions in the Ball State game for him. So, you know, hopefully UB is able to, you know, settle on one of those guys going into the 2022 campaign. And we'll definitely see and keep you guys posted on that. So really just thank you guys for tuning in this season. We're definitely going to be doing some other things with the show now that we're in off-season mode for UB. But we'll definitely keep you guys in the loop on what we have, you know, scheduled and planned. But again, I appreciate you all. I hope you all enjoyed a beautiful Thanksgiving week with family and friends again. And I just hope you guys get to enjoy some football and relax this weekend. So, this is Kyrie Demo signing off from Bullseye, the UB football podcast. This episode was presented to you by Bet Online, your favorite online sports book. I'll see you all very soon. And I just hope you all enjoy a great holiday season. Take care. Horns up, y'all.